So the next staff recommendation was to amend the basis for conclusions of both standards to reflect that accumulated depreciation or amortisation would not be able to be restated proportionately to the gross carrying amount in situations in which both the gross carrying amount and the net carrying amount are revalued disproportionately from each other. This is regardless of whether a re-estimation of the residual value, the useful life, or the depreciation method occurs prior to revaluation. That?
Fine. Comments? Okay, this one goes forward, that goes out. Item D.
And item D was changing the amending the transition requirements so that the proposed amendments are required to be applied to all revaluations recognised in annual periods beginning on or after the date of initial application of that amendment and in the annual period immediately preceding that date, and that an entity may also present adjusted comparative information for any earlier periods presented, but is not required to do so. And if an entity presents unadjusted comparative information for any earlier periods, it shall clearly identify the information that has not been adjusted, state that it has been presented on a different basis, and explain that basis.
Comments or objections? Okay. Sold. Anything else on this paper? Okay, you will be in contact with your two advisors and we'll see what to do about the wording. Then you and Michael and I will talk and we'll decide what to do about it. Patrick? We're moving to 15C, Charlie.
So it's about the annual improvement regarding the classification of liabilities as current or non-current. IS1 states that a liability is classified as non-current if an entity expects and has the discretion to refinance or roll over an obligation for at least 12 months after the reporting period under an existing loan facility. The exposure draft proposes to amend IS1 to clarify that the loan should be refinanced or rolled over with the same lender on the same or similar terms. In the paper, we provide an analysis of the comment letters received. After considering these comments, we think that the committee should recommend that the ISB does not confirm the proposed amendment in its current form. We note that the basis for conclusions of the proposed amendment seems to tie the classification requirements in IS1 to the derecognition requirements in IS39, and we do not think that this is the right path to follow. In particular, we do not think that the assessment of whether the terms are the same or similar should include a quantitative analysis based on the so-called 10% test as described in IS39. We think that this test is not appropriate for classification purposes and would raise practical issues. We think that the committee should develop for classification purposes a list of qualitative indicators that would be considered for assessing whether the terms are the same or similar. And we think that this qualitative analysis should be included in the implementation guidance of IS1. We also note that there are a number of issues that are associated with the classification of financial liabilities that were not dealt with in the proposed amendment to IS1. We think that the committee should deal with these issues as part of a narrow scope project to amend IS1, and we do not think that the committee should deal with these issues through an annual improvement. So the first question to the committee is, does the committee agree to recommend that the ISB does not confirm the proposed amendment to IS1 in its current form?
I was persuaded by the staff paper that the quantitative test is probably not appropriate for classification purposes. Given that, I would actually prefer to recommend that the annual improvement is finalized, but just without the guidance on what same or similar terms mean. I would actually prefer to leave that open than to try to develop qualitative indicators either now or later. Frankly, I don't think that there has been a whole lot of thought or a whole lot of problems regarding whether the refinancing is on same or similar terms or not. I think the amendment, the annual improvement would still help in confirming that if it's with a different lender, that doesn't work. And if it's with the same lender, you still have to at least think about whether it's on same or similar terms. And if it's not, then you'd still have to classify it as current. And I would just leave it at, if it is same or similar, then you get non-current and move on. Give practice a little bit of time to deal with that. If it turns out that there really is difficulty in figuring out what is same or similar terms, we can come back to that later. But I'm not convinced that we actually have to deal with that as part of the amendment. And so I'd go ahead with the annual improvement, just eliminating the quantitative test and moving on.
So you'd effectively decouple it from derecognition. You just say it's classification and derecognition are different.
That's right.
Okay. Laurence?
I also support decoupling the recognition requirements for financial instruments with classification as current or non-current. One question, though, to Patrick. What would be the conclusion for rollover agreements where the debt, the rate is reset subsequently? If we were to finalize the way Scott is proposing, so for an entity that has debt rolled over with the rate that is reset, what you explained in paragraph 28, the situation in paragraph 28. So would it pass or not? Does similar characteristics, rates, and so on?
I don't know, because I'm not sure it's totally clear what the notion of the same or similar terms means.
And so this is why I'm...
I think it would come to your judgment as to whether or not those terms were the same or similar.
But is this then something we want to provide guidance, or we leave it open?
You're walking yourself back into the 10% test.
No. Or some other test.
Or some other test. Joanna?
I have to admit, I support going ahead with this. I do not see that the two need to be linked. I think the issues that were or are traversed in this annual improvement are actually really important to actually get that out there. And I think that, and this is my broken record, I think to provide the guidance to tell you what it actually means by substantial or substantially different, we would be going down a slippery path because, you know, even if we got rid of the 10%, what does it actually mean? And we're opening up or setting a load of rules which people will go tick, 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 tick. I think people have to use judgment. And as Scott says, I actually haven't seen people saying that's an issue in a large sense. So I would go ahead with this. If we have to making it clear that it is not the same as for the other, that they're not, you know, that they are different.
Andrew, and then John, and then back to Scott, and then I'll go to the phone.
Well, I was persuaded by the staff's analysis and approach in the paper, so I was happy not to proceed. I do note in paragraph 12D, we note there are a number of issues associated with classification of financial liabilities that were not dealt with in the proposed amendment to IS1, and I assume that's part of the staff's thinking for not taking this forward. What particular issues did you have in mind? What related issues?
Well, there is questions about what discretion means, or about material adverse clauses. How should it be? should it affect the classification of financial liabilities, those type of questions that we have to deal with.
The meaning or understanding of the words discretion was, certainly I remember being raised to thinking that when the board discussed this, now at the time it was decided not to go in that direction, and I think that would be broader than an annual improvement if we were to try and tackle that one.
Chad?
I mean, I agree with delinking it from derecognition. I do think that IAS 1 is actually doesn't have a clear principle for classification of liabilities as current and non-current. Sometimes it's based upon expectation of cash outflows. Sometimes it's based upon rights. It seems to imply different things for liabilities that are related to operating activities or working capital from long-term liabilities. So there's a number of paragraphs. So I do think that IAS 1 is not particularly good. I don't agree with Scott's point that this isn't a real issue, same or similar terms. I think it is a huge issue. And we have a significant number of debates about whether the same lender means what happens with syndicates, where you change one of the 10 banks that might be in a syndicate. Is that the same lender, or is that a new group of lenders? So I do think that guidance on same or similar terms would be beneficial for adding clarity to how you interpret those requirements of paragraph 73.
Scott?
I don't really have anything new, just responding to Laurence's question on, you know, what would you do with the one where you roll over but the terms reset, and I would have thought that you would have to use judgment, apply the factors that you think are important. Which terms reset? Is it just the interest rate, or is it all the covenants? I mean, you know, the more things that change, the less chance it would be same or similar. So I you know, that was, you know, kind of the situation I was thinking about is, yeah, you need to consider what's going to change and whether that's so big that it's not really the same or similar terms. It's not really anything close to the same loan. Originally I think we tied it to the derecognition guidance because that way we weren't putting in a new model. And we were leveraging off of a model that already exists, and there's certainly, I think, appeal to that. But the responses we got and the discussion you provided convinced me that, you know, in this case, leveraging off of that model is not going to give us good information, and I'm still inclined not to create a long new one.
Okay, let's go to the phone. Guido?
I was also convinced by the arguments in the paper that tying the current non-current classification to the derecognition rules doesn't make a lot of sense. Some of the respondents, I think, said it really is a question whether I have a cash outflow at the end of the period or not, or within 12 months. So maybe that we, or the staff or the board, should think of a totally different method to come up with the current non-current classification. Maybe we don't even need to have the similar terms and the same lender issue. It's really about cash outflows that is of importance for the users of the financial statements. Do I have a requirement of a cash outflow within 12 months? I think that is something that we should consider. Another issue that I would like to raise when the staff looks at it again is we are talking about non-current liabilities here, not only about non-current financial liabilities. And again, tying then the derecognition rules for financial liabilities in here, I think it's not the right way to deal with it, because we are not only dealing with financial liabilities, but also non-financial liabilities. So, summing up, I think we need to have a fresh look at it, and as much as it would have helped to have one model for classification and derecognition, I don't think it provides useful information.
Luca?
I agree with the position expressed by the staff. I think that the paper is very clear and well underline the problems that we have to work on. So I agree with the staff proposal not to issue and to go on and to work a little bit more on this topic.
Peggy?
I agree with the conclusion, but I also concur with some of the reservations that people have expressed.
Peggy, can you say again? You're breaking up on us.
I agree with the conclusion, but have the same reservations that some others have expressed.
Okay. Let me phrase the question this way then. We have, I guess, really only two choices. One is that we go ahead with the amendment, but remove all of the linkages with the derecognition guidance in 39. And the second is, and I think this is effectively the staff recommendations A and B, that we not go ahead, but instead, and I assume when we say, you are referring to the committee taking on the work then of doing a more comprehensive review of classification. So I think those are our choices. We go ahead as is with, but delink, that's vote A, or we don't go ahead, but we immediately begin work. Patrick extends his fellowship for another 2 years so that he can complete it.
Wait a minute, I didn't know that was part of the deal.
Oh, I think it is.
Wrong decision.
Again, being jocular there. So, plan A. Go ahead, but delink. How many favor that? Five at the table, and I'll go back to the phones because I'm not absolutely sure. At the table, those who would not go ahead and be comprehensive and take a more comprehensive look. Five to five. Okay, Guido, for the two choices, which do you favor?
I'm for in camp B to take a more comprehensive look.
Okay, Luca?
View B if Patrick is happy.
Patrick always looks happy.
Okay. Peggy?
The first option.
7 to 5. Yeah, 6, 7 to 6.
Well, what is the vote, Mr.?
It's 7-6 in favor of not proceeding with Daniel Improvement, but taking on a data project.
No, if you're not here, you lose. Okay, we go ahead with effectively the staff recommendations. And I guess that implies our response to item 3, right? Yes, Joanna.
In making that decision, is that ours actually to make, or are we actually going to go to the board to say that's what we want to do? Are you happy that we take it as an arrow?
I think we have to do that, yeah, because it is part of annual improvements, yes. So we have to make a recommendation to the board.
Yeah, but it's also then to do a narrow amendment, yes. Look at